We now begin Maseches Sota. This is Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, 1-1. And the topic of this first chapter is the preliminaries and technicalities that lead up to the giving the bitter waters to the suspected Sota. And here in our first Mishnah, we want to discuss how many witnesses are required to testify regarding the stira component, the seclusion of this suspected woman with the suspected adulterer. So, the background again, for a woman to become a suffix sota, two things need to happen. First, she needs to have kinui, and then after that, stira. Kinui means her husband put her on formal notice, as we'll see in our Mishnah, in front of two edim, and he says, do not seclude yourself with that man. And that's the kinui part. Subsequently, there's the stira, where she in fact does find herself secluded with that man. So the Mishnah will take it for granted that the kinui part, putting her on notice to warn her, requires a warning in front of two witnesses, kosher witnesses. However, the machlokas is, when it comes to the stira, the report that she was isolated, secluded with that man, do we need one or two witnesses? Now, the shita holds there's only one witness required, basically learns it from a pasuk. However, I want to explain something for a second, which is very important here. The role of a witness in Palacha could really be one of two. The primary reason why you bring witnesses is to establish a halachic fact, to be mekayem the davar, to establish what's happened in the eyes of the court. And that requires two witnesses, kosher witnesses. And there are certain halachic phenomena, especially in Davar Sheba'erva, things that involving marriage, where a prerequisite for the thing to work is that there are two witnesses. So, for example, for Kedushin to effect marriage, two witnesses are required. If there are no two witnesses there, then the marriage simply cannot be effected. So, in other words, if I give a woman a ring and I say, Harat Mekudesh Liba to Ba'zu, you're married with this ring, and she accepts the ring, if there aren't two kosher witnesses to observe it, it simply doesn't work. She's not married, and she's free to marry whoever she wants. It just didn't work. It's not a matter of there's a marriage, just we don't have the halachic ability to enforce it because we don't have witnesses. No, the marriage itself wasn't effective. So other times we only need one witness, and that's just to be mivarer, to clarify what happened. If you're learning an order here, we just had in Nazir not long ago, the case of, you know, one witness reporting to two fellows, one of you guys walked over a grave in your tummy. We believe that one witness because we have nothing, no countervailing reason to not believe that one witness. And if there would be, in other words, back there in that Mishnah we said, if the people in question deny it, they say we didn't walk over a grave, then they would not be forced to do anything about it. But the rule is that an Eid Echad is Ne'eman B'Yisurin. In general, when it comes to matters of Isser V'Heter, a single witness is believed, because they're just clarifying what happened or didn't happen, and they're believed for that. And when one witness is required, so then the rule is that witness does not need to be even a kosher witness, a kosher aid. So meaning the one person who's clarifying the matter, what happened, could be a woman or a relative, that would be fine as well. Okay? So here our Mishnah starts out by saying, Hamekaneh le'ishto, one who has already put his wife on notice not to exclude herself with such a man, a particular man. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mekaneh la al pi shnayim, umashke la al pi et echad, o al pi atzmo. Says Rabbi Eliezer, yes, the kinui, the putting her on notice, requires two kosher witnesses, so he has to tell her in front of two kosher witnesses, do not be secluded with that man. But then once that's been effected, so then if she is seen even by one person to have been secluded with that man, so that gives enough of a suspicion, a basis to say, listen, this marriage is now put on hold, and she's forbidden to, her husband's forbidden to sleep with her anymore until they clarify this matter. And that's true whether it's one witness who sees it, or even he, the husband, who sees it. Okay? Now, although here it says she can be given to drink the bitter waters based on one witness, just remember, the woman is never forced to drink. She can always say, no, I don't want to drink. I'm refusing to participate in this. And which she would be entitled to do so, provided they haven't yet erased Hashem's name. So the point here is that the marriage is being put on hold, and the function of the bitter waters to giving her to drink is to enable them to reestablish a happy marriage. Okay? But the marriage is now put on hold. Says Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mekanelal Pishnaim. He says, yes, kinyan requires two witnesses to put her on notice, formally warning her. But then Umashkal Pishnaim, you also need two witnesses, two kosher witnesses, to observe that she was secluded with that man, against whom she was warned to seclude herself with. And those two witnesses are required to establish a halachic fact to make her husband and her now forbidden to sleep together. Until then, even if you have one witness who saw them seclude, that will not be enough to make her husband forbidden to sleep with his wife anymore until further notice. So that's the machlokas here. Now, the halacha is, so there's a few things. First I want to say is, the Gemara says that since it starts out by saying, Hamekanele Ishto, one who had put his wife on notice, the Gemara understands we're talking here about a bidyevet situation. The lacharchila, a person, should not do formal kinyan with his wife, because then that's just like a recipe for now getting the marriage to be put, you know, into jeopardy and her being in an awkward, terrible situation and the coming to disgrace and so on. So better not to effect formal kinyan in the first place. That's how the Gemara understands our Tana, based on the way he starts the Mishnah. However, that topic is actually a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva in a Braisa. Rabbi Yishmael holds like that. Rabbi Akiva understands that the mitzvah of kinui is in fact a mitzvah, and if one suspects his wife, so then he ought to put her on formal notice, not to further have an ongoing relationship and exclude herself with the man in question. I would argue that's also to keep the marriage in good shape, because, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We'd much rather nothing bad happen, God forbid, and once the husband is suspicious, so he ought to put her on notice formally. Okay, so that would be the halach like Rabbi Akiva, that one can, it's not just rishus, one can or should put his wife on notice in a formal way when he suspects something inappropriate is potentially going to happen. Now, the second part, as far as the stira goes, so halacha is like Rabbi Yehoshua, that, actually I skipped something, I apologize. Rabbi Eliezer holds that one witness is enough for the stira part. How does he know that? Where does he get that from? So he gets that from the fact that there one witness is enough for declaring someone to be tameh. And there is a connection, there's a hekesh between the parsha that talks about the sota, v'nistra v'hi nitma'a, she becomes tamea, so to speak. Now that's not really an appropriate turn of phrase, the tumah is not the issue. It's like a borrowed term, if you will, to come like she becomes defiled, if you will, to connect you to say that the lachas of tumah apply similarly in one way here, by the stira, meaning that just as one witness is believed for tumah, one witness is also believed for the stira. That's how Rabbi Eliezer understands that's the basis of his one witness is enough. But the halacha is like Rabbi Yehoshua, that two witnesses are required both for the kinui and for the stira, and without that two witnesses, so then we wouldn't give her to drink the water. Now the Rambam takes an interesting middle position. By the way, he understands that, of course, you need two witnesses for kinui, that's not for discussion, and you need two witnesses for stira as well, like Rabbi Yeshua, to give her to drink the water. But if he himself, as opposed to a single witness, if he with his own eyes sees the stira occur, so then now he is forbidden to sleep with his wife anymore. Even though he can't force her to drink, since in his he knows what's happening, he sees what's happening, that's enough in his own head to make that he can't sleep with his wife anymore. Okay, so that would restrict them, and according to the Rambam, not only would they be restricted then at that point by him seeing it himself, which is not like how the bartender learned the Mishnah, but then according to the Rambam, he would then be forced to divorce his wife, midarabanan, because he can't live with a woman with whom you can't sleep, and since the concern derabanan that they would end up sleeping together, therefore the din is he would have to divorce his wife. That's the Rambam paskins, and let's assume, as we keep on doing in these mesechtas, the halacha follows the Rambam.